Welcome to Bunta Vista. I am Andrew, and I'm here with my beautiful, sweet friend, Theo. Hello, Theo.
Hey. Hello.
Hello, hello. I'm good. I'm good. I'm razzed up.
Because
at Theo's insistence, we're trying something new tonight, folks. We are recording a show relatively live for the podcast format. We are currently broadcasting this live over our Discord channel. And all of our beautiful little freaky friends are listening to us live. They're able to chat with us.
And they are freaky.
Yeah, well.
Disgusting.
Just disgusting, sweaty little freaks sending
Sleazy
us pictures of
goblins.
Fat lizards in the chat, demanding a can check. We're here for each and every one of them.
I'm going to find the stream very very distracting the entire night. I'll try not to look at...
Well, let's start off by just ignoring the elephant in the room that you are constantly looking at the chat any time that we are recording.
Anyway, that's correct.
Any given time that we are recording, you are currently looking at the chat, and that is totally fine. So I guess we sort of thought to ourselves that we could take a whole bunch of questions from the Patreon and then bump those up with other questions from the Discord, if that's what people wanted to do. Except they're already throwing them at us thick and fast, going hog wild.
Too quick.
Number one, straight off the bat, friend of the show. I'm going to have to go off the display names in Discord now. I think this is Brick Dust Otis, whose screen name is currently S-H-A-R-T, in parentheses, eating cum. Who says, can we please do a can check post-haste?
For you, Otis. Yes.
Otis, you filthy devil.
You hog.
I'm drinking a big cold Asahi beer from the land of the rising sun. Is that a thing anyone's meant to say anymore?
I think so. It's on their flag.
Yeah.
If they didn't like it, they'd probably take it off.
I guess.
Currently being cancelled.
I guess. An Asahi. Mm-hmm. It's a full-bodied, full-carb Asahi, not like the ones that you drink.
Mm. I drink both, but I find the other one makes me a little bit sleepy, a little bit less responsive to questions on the podcast.
Yeah, that's fair.
I like to be in my finest form, but
I'm drinking
professionalism.
That and a frosty glass of Mishka vodka, which is purportedly from France, which is very confusing to me. I don't know why you got to have a Russian name and be from France. It's not helping things out at all. I'm going to rate this on my scale of affordable vodkas.
Mm-hmm.
It was on sale, $5 off, down to, I think, $33,
$34. Sure, it's a cheap bottle.
Pretty cheap bottle of vodka. It's perfectly reasonable, being French. And, get this, the bottle, one side of it, like a sort of quarter of it, is kind of just flat. So that you can sit it in your freezer without it rolling around.
Ooh. That is good.
Like that's
however, Hatta says Mishka is garbage. So,
well,
it's good to be getting feedback in real time. Thank you, Mishka.
Well, you're not drinking it in my lounge room. So, what would you know about the experience, my lived experience? You know? How about you, Theo? What are you on there?
Oh, God. Look, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I am drinking a furphy. Like the.
Oh, the thing, the beer everybody yells at me for drinking.
One and the same. The beer that has been specifically made to manipulate Victorians into drinking something that isn't VB.
That's how they got me.
Fine 1.3 standard drinks. It is okay.
I have a furphy theory, actually, which is that I think that more so than what people are describing it as, which is like a terrible beer marketed as craft beer to trick idiots or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've actually pretty cleverly, marketing-wise, found a niche that is like between the sort of $40 slab of like VB or 4X or whatever, like Sol, whatever cheap shit you like, but also significantly less than like a slab of actual craft beer. Because that shit is crazy expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No one ever buys a slab of craft beer.
We are now members of our local bottle shop. And they were like, hey, if you're a member, slab of Asahi for $41. That's goddamn good.
That is good.
That's good value.
I like that.
Good value.
Yeah, on that.
Sweet Asahi.
Don't mind an Asahi.
Oh my goodness. We do have some other can checks going on in the chat. Melon DeGeneres is a kind of beer here. Yeasty Boys from friend of the show, Dave, wife of the show, Dave, I should say. Yeasty Boys asking how we feel about pun beers, and I'm pretty sure that's the only variety of craft beer that exists, isn't it? A play on words?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think, if you're going to make a pun on like something beer related, don't make it fucking yeasty. Yeah. That's just setting people up. Like, why don't you just call it disgusting shit beer and be done with it? This is not a good name for a beer.
I don't know if you know this about beer, but yeast is one of the ingredients they use for making it.
I am aware of that.
Are you just thinking of like musty pussies? I just heard someone leave the
general
chat.
Or specifically?
Someone was out on that one.
If that was their bar, then they haven't been hanging around in the Discord very long at all.
Oh, a friend of the show, Retro, is drinking the beer named after Albo, Anthony Albanese.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you centrist son of a bitch. We say drinking our beers from wherever Furphy is from. It's not the Bad Scab Brewery, you know. It's not one of the bad super scab ones. It's hard to even keep up with all these questions. My wife's in here now waving ice creams at me, asking if I asking if she can eat the last ice cream.
It was almost an appearance of wife of the show.
Yeah. Wife of the show, my wife Eleanor, asking if she can eat the last ice cream from Aldi. The imitation magnums, you know?
Mm.
What are they called?
I've not had them.
Pretty good. They're like $3 a box or whatever. Top notch. Top draw. Theo, we've got a tough question for you today.
Looking forward to it.
Oh, actually, let's ask TK Donuts Bad question first. TK asks, is it okay to think a Zootopia character is hot? No. No, that's some...
No.
Some furry shit right there.
That is
TK.
A cartoon for children.
I would want to know if he's talking about the... is he talking about the rabbit, the lead character? Number one, she's
fox. Right?
Well, I'm not sure. Yes, TK says he is talking about the rabbit, Officer Judy Hopps. She's just far too physically small for you, TK, apart from anything else. Very tiny, tiny being. And, you know, she's very uptight. Very uptight.
I've not seen it.
Good movie.
Or anything.
It's pretty good. Zootopia. It's got a little bit of that, like, libertarian feel that a lot of, for some reason, fucking kids' movies have these days. Mm. Like, how the Incredibles movies are just all super libertarian. Like, what's important is individual exceptionalism. That's what's important, small children who are watching this movie. Here's another question for you, Theo, from a friend of the show. Deng Screbby. Thank you, Deng. How do you justify enjoying Cumtown? The podcast Cumtown. Let me give my answer first because it's short.
Go for it.
Sure. My answer is I don't really, because I've given it several tries. And yeah, I think like I listen to it for a bit and I go, all right. And then they go, everyone's a retard and slurs this and blah, blah, blah. And Andrew Dice Clay's stuff where he tells women to shut the fuck up and get in the kitchen is the funniest comedy album that's ever been made. And I go, yeah, now I remember why this isn't for me. And I turn it back off again before an episode is finished.
Very responsible of you.
Yeah. But I understand that you are more of a listener than I am.
Not anymore. I used to listen to it. I've listened to a fair bit of it. And I think... I mean, people listen to it because it's funny, right? Or they think it's funny. And whether or not the wink at the camera is enough to kind of pass it... obviously, for a lot of people, it isn't. For a lot of people, it is. Like, a lot of people on the... that are, like, otherwise sensitive about this sort of stuff... have given it a pass. I really don't have that kind of analysis for it. More to say that sometimes I find it very funny. I don't listen to it anymore because it wasn't enough to keep me going.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was talking to a friend about this the other day, not about Cumtown specifically, but just about, like, I guess we were talking about, I was explaining, like, Pizzagate and QAnon and shit to him, someone who is not extremely online, and I was explaining that to him, and he was like, who are these people who talk about this stuff online? And I was saying, well, the whole QAnon thing sort of sprung up from 4chan. And he was like, what's a 4chan? And I was like, all right, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day.
There's a blessed life. They are literally living a better life than we could hope to live.
But just about, like,
I think not knowing about these things.
I guess. We were talking about, I was explaining, like, Pizzagate and QAnon and shit to him. Someone who is not extremely online. And I was explaining that to him, and he was like, who are these people who talk about this stuff online? And I was saying, well, the whole QAnon thing sort of sprung up from 4chan. And he was like, what's a 4chan? And I was like, all right, we're going to be here all day. We're going to be here all day. So yeah, I was like, look, 4chan, basically just really grody corner of the internet where anything goes. And there are a lot of people on there who are obsessed with, like, very aggressively trolling other people.
Yeah,
I was explaining the whole, like, white power hand symbol thing to him, how that started off as a, hey, we'll feel really clever if we can sort of circulate this disinformation. And then people pick it up in the real world, and then we can see a thing that we kind of started off happening in the real world, and we'll feel very self-satisfied about it because we fooled people. But then it was also kind of picked up by that middle grade of people who were like, yeah, we'll trick the liberals and the leftists by doing this thing, and they'll think it means the racist thing, and then we'll say, well, it doesn't really, you idiot. Except that also, you're trafficking in the same circles as people who wholeheartedly believe this stuff. And so it has just literally become that thing. You can see Proud Boys at white supremacist rallies all throwing up the hand sign and pictures and stuff. And it's like, it has just become that thing. And that to me is kind of the shorthand version of the, of like the just doing irony racism and irony slurs and stuff where, like, yeah, you can say, oh, they don't really mean this thing, or it's comedy or whatever the fuck, but there's only so long I can listen to people say the same shit over and over again before I go, yeah, that's just who you are. You think it's fine. And okay. And I mean, you know, we've got our own critics. I think that we, you know, try to be quite aware of like different slurs and all that sort of stuff. But like, I had somebody, apologies for not remembering your name, and I especially apologize if you are listening to this right now, but somebody, you know, wrote to me and said, I love the show and it would be better without all the ableist slurs. And I said, which ones? You're going to have to catch me up here. And they said, you use the words like crazy all the time. And I went, we're just going to have to disagree on this one. There are some words that I think have, like, broad enough meanings that they're not specifically kind of stigmatizing mentally ill people or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, like, I mean, obviously, we are very sensitive to this sort of feedback, right? And want to listen to this sort of stuff, but at the same token, you have to kind of accept that there are certain things that you will just spin your wheels about forever and never move past that point. And it's a tricky balance to get, I think. As well as the fact that, I mean, I think that I, you know, I've certainly dealt with some pretty significant mental health issues, and I've had that in my family and all this sort of stuff. And I think that there is certainly not the reason to just cut that off entirely, but I also, you know, there are people that would disagree with that. But I think there are these things that we will also have our own lived experiences about. And I think that balance is never gonna satisfy everybody.
No, but like from my own perspective, I think that it is, yeah, you do have to try as best you can to strike a balance between listening to people who offer you criticism, because
yes,
you know, I have certainly said on the show before, I was wrong about this thing, or this other person had a better opinion than me about this, or whatever. But also, you can't take absolutely everything everyone says and say, I will modify my behavior accordingly. That's just life, baby.
Yeah, and I mean, Amy asks, when's an occasion you can recall someone being called crazy that you think it was okay? And it's probably, you know, a decent question. And I would certainly think that, like, things like saying things are crazy or calling somebody crazy who is, you know, possibly dealing with mental health issues or that sort of thing are two different worlds. And, you know, I think we do need to be particularly careful about the latter, which is, you know, obviously very quick to stigmatize people, that sort of thing.
Let's grab another couple of questions here. Let's see. Allison asks, beautiful wife of the show, Allison. I've forgotten what the colors are on here. Pink is wife, isn't it? Wife of the show, wife, Allison asks, did you or anyone you knew have one of those weird fucked up consoles like a Game Gear?
Yes, absolutely. One of my friends had a Lynx.
Oh yeah,
the Sega handheld.
That wasn't
system.
A Sega. The Lynx, was it? Am I thinking of an Atari Jaguar?
Well, Atari Jaguar is like the weird kind of in between PS1 console. The Lynx is like a handheld thing. It's like a foot wide. It's got a tiny little screen. It's got about 25 minutes battery life. It had... apparently Allison literally has a Lynx. So, cool.
Well, Allison does love the cat-type Lynx as well.
That's right. I remember it had... Sonic the Hedgehog, and that's about it. Oh, and I owned a PSP, like a huge dumbass.
PSP. That was before it was the Vita?
That's right. That was the PSP 2.
Huh. Well, what else we got on here, folks? Oh, okay. Friend of the show, Dominic Barlow, says, could you please catch me up on Ryan Adams' whole deal so that I may cancel him? Are you across this, Theo?
No, God. Every time I read it, I go, Bryan Adams, the Summer of 69 guy, and then I immediately move on.
Like, Ryan Adams, the indie, and I'm doing air quotes around this, alt-country singer, will literally walk off stage if people at festivals yell out, play Summer of 69, which is excellent to me. That's so good.
That's great.
You'd think you'd get a sense of humor about it and just fucking play it, right? You think you'd just learn to play the song and play it once.
Well,
a set.
I'm told that he did play it recently by B-Dogs.
Well, B-Dogs. Check this out, B-Dogs. He's a real piece of shit.
Yeah, he sucks apparently for reasons that
answer is that... all right, so you know this whole Me Too thing? Hashtag Me Too.
Oh, he got Me Too.
Yes, but also, like, one of the things that a lot of people kind of said about the Me Too stuff, and it's spread through Hollywood, and it's producers and actors and all that sort of stuff. One thing a lot of people said was like, man, is this thing going to blow when it hits the fucking music industry?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's like all the jokes you see online about every pop punk band's front man, like, dating 14-year-olds and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And Brand New got cancelled.
So the deal with... The deal with Ryan Adams is, and obviously, you know, there is all the R. Kelly stuff too, as friend of the show Ostro is saying here. But like the deal with Ryan Adams is that there's an article that has just come out in, I think, the New York Times, which has several women on the record, including his ex-wife, Mandy Moore, and also... like several women that had relationships with him. And the general premise of the deal is that the women who had some type of relationship with him, they had all started as Ryan Adams saying, I can help get you connections to the music industry. And I can, like, he had dangled success and connections and stuff in front of them as like impetus for hanging out with him. And then had segued sideways into very unprofessional relationships. In the case of one of the girls, she was like 14, 15, 16 across the time that he was talking to her and, you know, talking about how horny he was for her and not to tell anyone and just your standard grooming type shit. Mandy Moore, who was famous when I was in high school as like a pop starlet, and then later on had some more kind of, I guess, mainstreamy pop albums and stuff, basically said, the whole time that I was married to this guy, he emotionally abused me and, you know, told me that I wasn't a real musician like him and all this sort of shit. And it wasn't until she split with him that she, like, had a career again, basically. So really, I mean... The accusations about him very broadly are, I guess, exactly what you would expect about a young man who has been given a whole bunch of power and a whole bunch of influence over people, just exploiting that.
Mm.
So, you know, I don't think anyone's that surprised. As Ostro pointed out there, R. Kelly is another big one in terms of someone who, you know, was very lauded as a musical genius and everything and has obviously just been afforded leeway beyond any reasonable means for all of the horrible shit that he's done. Like fucking Aaliyah. Now, he was married to the R&B singer Aaliyah and he was her producer on her first album. So at that point, he was working for a record label, was a big like hit maker. He wrote every song on her first album and worked with her as the producer. And apparently it included them spending many, 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 many hours alone after hours in music studios and stuff like that when she was 14. Initially, record labels didn't want to sign her because she was too young. They were like, she's a fucking 14-year-old and she's singing about all this grown-up shit and sexy stuff. But that wasn't a problem for R. Kelly, who got together with her and helped write all of the songs off her first album, including the hit lead single, Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, and then secretly married her as a teen.
Oh.
And okay. Then he went on to just keep working for fucking years and apparently just has, you know, a good old cult-like atmosphere of you know, women who are like indentured servants to him. It all sounds like some very weird, freaky shit. But it's absolutely wild, like, how long all this sort of shit has gone on for. And I absolutely agree with the idea that... Yeah, once all this sort of shit just crosses over into the music industry, it's going to be all over for these motherfuckers. As somebody said here, it was Reese, wife of the show Reese, said, did you see the guy on Twitter who was like, if we're going to cancel Ryan Adams for being creepy, we might as well cancel every other rock star. And yes.
And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine... Just get a hold of Imagine if we... created such a horrifying world for men that they couldn't just exploit young women all the time.
Imagine if we had to cancel Kings of Leon. What would we do?
Poor old Kings of Leon.
They're probably bad.
Oh, dear. How are we going in the chat here? What's going on?
All right, pretty good. I'm struggling to keep up. There's lots and lots of questions. Thank you for tagging me because I can just go through the at list. So someone asked us to explain the Paladin thing. We explained part of the Paladin thing last week.
We had a go at it.
We're not very smart or good, so I hope you enjoyed that. TK asks, why won't Theo let us dig him a swimming pool? I'm not sure. I haven't seen the request come through yet. And to be perfectly honest, it's a lot of maintenance for a big old hole in the ground that would burn me for going in. I don't really deal with being in a pool very well. Being shirtless outside, even with a shirt on outside, probably not great. Which of us is the first to be cancelled, do you think, Andrew? Sorry for whoever asked that.
Me or Lucy, I reckon. I think you and Ben... If Ben didn't get cancelled for doing a tweet with 500,000 likes, if he didn't manage to get cancelled in the course of that, then he's clearly invincible.
And sorry, the person that... This was Holly that asks this question, although at the moment I believe that she is going by... the boss baby of pissing herself. So there's a lot going on in the Discord.
That's what you can look forward to when you subscribe. I think it's going to be me, to be honest. I thought I was dangerously close with my misguided Liam Neeson rant from the... I was so...
You do flirt with it. You do love edging. Well, you know canceled. What
my problem...
You'll bring yourself right to the edge of being cancelled, and then you'll bring yourself
my problem.
Back
my problem with the Liam Neeson thing was that at some point earlier in the week, I had had a thought about it, like a singular thought about it, that I thought would be interesting to explore. And then we got to recording the show like 4 days later, and I had started talking about this thing, and then proceeded to talk about it for like 5 or 10 minutes, and this thing that was worth discussing never came back in my head. And at some point, I was just like, nope, I don't know what I'm doing here. But I was also way too tired to edit it out of the show, so I just left it in. I don't know. I think part of being cancelled at the very least is a willingness to accept responsibility for your shitty thoughts and opinions and that kind of thing. I think what gets people cancelled a lot of the time is like trying to insist way past the point of being reasonable that you were like never wrong, whereas I'm very happy to admit that I'm wrong about something. I'm very happy to say I don't know what the fuck I was talking about just now and I was wrong. I'm very happy to do that, and I think that goes a reasonable way to stopping yourself from getting cancelled. Speaking of getting cancelled, let's find out if lover of the show Willis Chaos Goblin needs to cancel his own dad. Willis says, I have a question. I was at a lovely Italian restaurant with my family today, and my father would not stop making The Godfather and generally mafia based jokes. Is racism against Italians okay, or is it time to take the old man around the back of the shed and cancel him? It's fine. It's like doing Irish racism.
Surely. I mean, the instinct is to say it's fine, right? I remember Ben was telling me about he did one of these tweets, and someone messaged him and is like, hey, you know, I got made fun of a lot growing up for being, you know, a quote unquote wog and all this sort of stuff, and you know, this is all kind of part of it. And he's gone, oh, okay. But
was he like, oh, mamma mia?
That's right. But it's also very, very funny to do. So it is funny to say who is right or wrong. I'm just digging this hole. The Irish, though, however, they are definitely totally capable of being made fun of, unless you know where my car is stored, in which case I fully support an independent and whole nation of Ireland.
Did I already discuss on the show how my 5-year-old daughter needs to be cancelled?
You have, I think. Sorry, someone's just accused me of making the blackface argument there. Sorry, that's Amy. That's true. Sorry. this is bad, but it's funny, so we're going to keep doing it. It's a bad excuse. I apologize.
Can't believe we're all getting cancelled. We're getting cancelled live tonight,
folks. In real time.
Cancelled in real time.
People usually have to walk away and seethe about this for a little while and then come back and say, you know what? We're going to keep listening to your dumb show because... actually, I don't know why people listen to the show, but I'm sure we'll find out.
We'll find out. People do love to tell us. Well, let's segue into a question from dear old friend of the show, single payer Sonic Mpreg. How do we keep ourselves open-minded as younger people break new ground in what's culturally acceptable? I feel like I said something about this on the show like ages ago. We got a question that was like, what's the thing that's going to make you go, nah, I'm an old reactionary now? And like, I feel like I made a joke about like either furries or like... It was either furries or like that super weapons grade other kin Tumblr type shit, you know? Apart from the fact that like some of the more extreme examples of that stuff are obviously kind of jokes anyway. I think the answer is just applying the same logic that people should have and do apply to like people's sexuality, to like, you know, 15 years ago or 20 years ago, whatever, to whether someone was gay, to now about whether someone is trans, to in the future about whatever other thing, which is like, just don't fucking worry about it. It's none of your business. Unless it is a thing that is like really genuinely in some way, shape or form impacting like your life or your personal relationships or whatever. And I mean, it has to actually be impacting you. It can't be just like, I'm aware of this thing and that's putting me out somehow. I mean, like something that has to be very genuinely having like an impact on your life, then just don't fucking worry about it. Makes me think of that ad that they were running on public transport somewhere about what to do if you suspect that someone is a trans person. And it was just like a numbered list. And it was like, what to do, you know, if you're looking at someone and you're thinking, maybe this person is trans. And the first item was like, don't worry about it. And that was the list. And I think that's kind of it for whatever's coming up in the future.
100%.
Just don't fucking worry about it. If it doesn't affect you extremely personally, you know, like I can imagine it being a concern. Like, this is a weird example, but like, you know, like people who've been married to someone for like decades before that person like first comes out as gay or trans or whatever. That's something where this as a very specific thing is affecting a personal relationship of yours. But like so many other things in the world, that's something you're going to have to work out one-to-one with this person in your personal relationship with them. So that's kind of the extent to which any of this stuff affects you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless everybody's wearing full fursuits in like Australian summer, global warming, heat waves in 10 years from now, I'm just passing out in the street and I got to like drag people into the shade, that's going to put me out. Other than that, I can't really think of too much that's going to bother me. What do you think, Theo?
No, I agree. I mean, I think to a certain sense, because we're extremely online, we've also been inured to things that other people might find, you know, distasteful. But really, it's just a matter of exposure to things that you know you're not used to. So I think we, and by we I don't mean you and I mean like the online community as a whole, I think is starting to get less and less sort of, you know, grossed out about things that are outside of their, you know, lived experience kind of thing. So, and like you said, if it's not hurting anybody, who gives a fuck? You know, I think people have finally kind of started to come around on, you know, hey, maybe who cares if people are furries, you know, like all this sort of stuff, because turns out they probably have pretty cool politics, you
except
know.
Except for all the Nazi furries.
Except for the Nazi furries, they can go jump.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to go one further than that, though, and say, like, to me, that stuff extends further than just, well, it's none of my business, because I feel like that was kind of prevalent. Like when I was younger, like I'm thinking like Will and Grace era gay awareness, you know what I mean? Mm. That kind of era of like when people used to still freak out about like a same-sex couple kissing on TV or whatever. I'm sure there are plenty of people who still freak out about it now, but that's besides the point. I think an attitude that was kind of prevalent then and a lot of people have held on to is like, well, you know, whatever people do behind closed doors, that's their business. And it was sort of this thing of like, well, as long as I don't have to see it or acknowledge it or think about it in any way or be confronted with it or have to, like, you know, as long... And what people are effectively saying there is like, as long as you keep this part of yourself that is different from me segregated away from the rest of the world, I can accept it. And that's not far enough for me. Like,
yeah,
and like, I'm not, you know, attributing this to you. I'm saying that, like, sometimes when I hear people sort of say, like, the who gives a fuck thing, it comes across to me as kind of like that. It's like, well, who fucking, you know, it's none of your business, who cares kind of thing. But like, I think you're allowed to care that people are allowed to be themselves.
Yeah, you're right. That there is the corollary to you know, who gives a fuck, that it's like, yeah, as long as it stays behind closed doors. And it's like, no, that's not it. You know, like I said, people should be able to live their life visibly.
Yeah, to me that more like the I don't give a fuck what people do as long, like, behind closed doors or whatever. To me, that more applies to, like, kink than orientation and gender and stuff like that. I don't give a fuck if, like, you know, people are swingers, or if you're into scat, if you're a filthy piss pig, if you, like all the members of our chat, if you're a dirty piss piggy.
Yeah, I mean, we're having to be very, very sensitive here because we don't want to lose too many listeners.
If you are a filthy pay pig or whatever your fucking thing is, that's fine. But, you know, go for it. Go for it, folks. Go for that crazy shit behind closed doors. I don't want to have to watch all the Two Girls, One Cup videos. All the tub girl links, you know. No, that's for me. But go nuts. Go hog wild. We do have another question here from Holly, friend of the show, Holly, who says, bring back Hell Thread of the Show on the Discord. I believe Theo has done that very thing.
It is back. We talked briefly about it, I think, on the main. But the Hell Thread is back. Just to kind of split, I think, the people that are having sex, which is disgusting, that's fine. I accept you. You're allowed to be, you know, a sex haver. That's okay. But we had to split that away from the normal default people who hate sex.
Normal people.
Just normal people. The thought of having sex makes them sick. Just the color pink sends me into waves of nausea. So we've got a normal friends of the show thread, and then all of the sex stuff where they talk about, peeing
into a woman's vagina, I assume.
That's right. Is quarantined safely away. And if you did see the role ASIO of the show pop up,
you say ASIO of the show.
ACO of the show, with read-only permission to the health thread. That's an administrative mistake, and I will be fixing it.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, friend of the show, Nick, asks, can you think of anyone who has been uncancelled?
I thought we talked about
this. No, he only just...
One. No. On the episode.
Well, we were talking about Ted Danson. Everybody loves Ted Danson, right? Despite his blackface japes.
For his
I'm more thinking of because look.
But then he got recancelled for being on the.
well, look. Let me clarify the difference here. I think in the case of the Ted Danson thing, I'm gonna say that he was never officially cancelled for that, for two reasons. One, cancel culture and the internet in its current sense didn't exist then. And two, he did it at the behest of his black girlfriend. And as misguided as it may have been, terrible, terrible moves. Much time has elapsed since then. I'm more thinking of I feel like Aziz Ansari is angling to try and get himself uncancelled.
I ignored whatever he
said. I don't know if he can do it. I don't know if he can do it.
Yeah.
He seems like he's kind of trying to skirt the line between saying I've really taken time to learn, to listen and learn about all this stuff, and I've really learned a lot of stuff. He seems like he's trying to skirt the line between that and doing the Louis C.K. thing of everyone's a fucking snowflake now and everybody's way too into this reactionary cancel culture type shit. I read a piece the other day that was about one of his comeback shows where he's sort of, testing his new material. And a lot of it sort of seemed to be if I was just some guy and I wasn't famous, no one would give a fuck about this thing. It's that's not the world that you live in or the one that you have spent many years actively seeking. I'll be interested to see how it goes with him. I think people can... Well, not everybody, obviously. I think people can kind of sniff the bullshit out quite a ways away of the difference between someone who is just doing the publicity tour, my PR guy said that this is what I'm supposed to say, going through the motions kind of shit, versus someone who is very clearly really sort of had their world upended by something that has happened and it has given them serious reflection. And I'm trying to think of people who fit that bill. There's not that many of them. I feel like a lot of the getting cancelled stuff is still pretty new,
I think we're all working it out.
We're all trying to figure it out.
Look, we're making mistakes. We're learning as we go.
Yeah, I mean, look, I feel like we've kind of made our feelings clear on this show as far as on the one hand... on the one hand, I think that people who are sort of actively harmful and pieces of shit and all that sort of stuff, they don't deserve to have a life in the public spotlight where they're influencing people, all that sort of stuff. I think the Louis C.K.'s of the world and shit, I do kind of agree with that idea of how many women did he do that shit to who just said, you know what, maybe I don't want to work in comedy. at the end of that and just went, no, I'm good. I'm done. How many other talented people's careers did he just derail by being a piece of shit? And also whenever you see that argument that's if we cancel Ryan Adams, we'll have to cancel all these other people. It's do you think that there aren't any other talented people in the world who can't just
waiting to take their place?
And also who can't do the job without actively sexually assaulting people or exploiting fucking minors?
Hmm.
I reckon there's plenty of them. I think there are fucking plenty of people.
Someone said that that maybe TJ Miller was uncancelled. TJ Miller was cancelled for being a huge
weirdo.
Oh,
I thought he was still... My impression of that whole affair was that TJ Miller is still a completely unapologetic and a massive piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. So, but I just thought I would put to bed any kind of lingering doubt that he was still cancelled by reading from his IMDb page. He frequently cites his compulsive and almost pathological driven work ethic as an altruistic effort to distract people from the tragedy that permeates every life.
Mm-hmm.
And believed that comedy would be more of a contribution than psychology, since instead of affecting only at most a few hundred people dramatically, he can affect millions of people in small increments. This is his biography on IMDb. He has publicly stated that he believes comedians are the new philosophers and that academic philosophers are no longer relevant. However, he is a student of philosophy and subscribes to the ethical philosophy of John Stuart Mill, utilitarianism, which states that the one should make the most amount of happiness for the most amount of people, which he has cited as one of the reasons he made the decision to be a comedian.
Fucking hell. Apart from the fact...
So if that hasn't made your brain just fall out into the toilet...
Imagine thinking that any of that was a novel thought for a start.
Just like, oh, God. Yeah, I'm on some new shit here. This is...
Yeah, like 45 years after Albert Brooks's career as a director and actor, you're like, maybe... Hey, maybe comedians are doing a new kind of philosophy. And they're doing it via starring roles in the Emoji Movie.
Travis said, this sucked so much to listen to. So you're welcome, Travis. Someone asked, what have we been spending our misbegotten podcast gains on? That was Wodonga
Sweet
Bob.
Podcast fortune.
Well, you bought a VR headset, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. That's right. I could jerk off in so many dimensions. It's no good. The VR porn
four,
is no
I think,
good.
If you count time.
I use it to pay for the overhead of the podcast and my bills. I use it to help feed my children. It's really boring. It's really boring. Once a month, we just get a bit of money, and my wife's like, "Oh, cool, that makes our lives easier."
Thank you. I don't spend that or any money. I pay for the roof over my head, for internet. I pay $45 a month for Optus, a 2 gig plan.
Jesus Christ!
I tried to get that upgraded, and they would sell me 5 gig for $65 a month, and I said, "No, you know what? That's too much."
Your phone plan just makes me so sad. I don't know how to process it. I don't know what to do. When you show me that thing, I'm just like, fucking hell. I will sit there at lunch in the office and like just eat my microwaved leftovers from the night before because I'm a good boy. I'm trying to save money for my family. And mm-hmm. I'll watch like I'll stream something on like Netflix or my Plex server at home or whatever on my phone while I'm eating food. And I'm just like, just half an hour of that would be like a quarter of your fucking, a quarter of your fucking monthly allowance.
No, that is absolute, that's just too much. That's...
Oh my God.
Just I can't support watching a video.
I sat there at lunch yesterday, and I legally I'm winking at everybody on the podcast right now. Wink. I'm winking at everybody about how I legally streamed the main event of the UFC card that was on, and I watched Cain Velasquez lose his comeback fight in 26 seconds. When both of his knees, which are made of spider webs and thin glass and elastic bands, instantly explode the moment he was touched by another man. So that's what I do with my lunch break, folks. I go and sit at a table for half an hour, and I don't fucking talk to anyone.
I play Sudoku.
Yeah, I stopped playing my Sudoku for some reason.
Hmm. You done your Sudoku?
Oh, no. Here's a confession. And it's just for the patrons of the show. My daughter will be like playing a game on the iPad, right? And sometimes an ad for something will pop up and she will like install the thing that came up on the ad. And I have a setting on, which I had foolishly put on because I was like, oh, this will make my own life easier somehow, which says, oh, if I install this thing on one of my devices, install it on the other ones too. So on my phone, one day popped up Toon Blast, which is just, you know, a match game type thing.
Okay.
And I've been playing that. And I cannot stop playing it. I have played 831 levels of Toon Blast.
I see.
That's what I'm doing with my toilet time, you know? All that kind of stuff. Hey, friend of the show, Tal. Oh, well, he's a mod of the show. He's a lover of the show. He's all kinds of things. Beautiful Tal, purveyor of the Friday Lizard on Twitter, asks, can we get a Nature Corner or Pets of the Show check? To that I say, number one, holy fuck, is it cockatoo season and these motherfuckers outside my house will shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
God damn, we got to close the windows because we can't hear each other talk. Jesus.
God, that rules. Oh,
noisy motherfucker. Fuckers.
They're the rowdy beef packages.
It's honestly only been like 2 weeks recently that they've moved in, and I turned to my wife and I said, there goes the neighborhood, these guys. So that's what's going on with the birds in our zone. Mm-hmm. Our cat Couscous is being trialed on some different food to see if she has cat IBS.
Wonderful.
Yes, apparently the cat has IBS, folks. So now that Lucy has inadvertently cured her own IBS, now the cat has IBS.
So what's the shitting situation there? Is she shitting in a box?
She's shitting in kitty litter. She got converted to an indoor cat when we moved here. Sometimes the shit has blood in it. And she throws up around the house every now and then.
Jeez. Okay, yep. No, well, no one does.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like it's pretty normal for cats to just throw up every now and then, like idiots.
Yeah. They love barfing.
Just barfing the whiskers back up half digested. I came home the other day and the cat had vomited, like, with whatever her new food is, had vomited, like, she had been sitting on my side of the bed when she did it. And it had run, like, down the side of the mattress, like, on the sheet, onto the bed frame, down the side of the bed frame, and onto the carpet. I was like, thank you. She has this great way of being perched on something high and then vomiting it so that it hits, like, several surfaces somehow.
Yeah, getting a real verticality to the puke. Yeah.
So anyway, we're trialing this diet to see if she does have kitty IBS. And she also needs to get several of her teeth removed. She's getting several of her back teeth taken out. That's right, I'm paying money to take my damn cat to the dentist.
Hmm.
So I think she's just going to get put under and then have some of her teeth yanked out. And I said to Eleanor, I was like, what happens afterwards? Do we need to, like... Does her food change? Do we need to put anything on what I assume will be the big holes in her jaw or whatever? And she said, I assume the vet will tell us at the time. So that's where we're at with the cat.
Cool.
How's Gnome doing?
Gnome's good. So we had a so she kind of got her teeth cleaned once every 5 years, so they put her under for that. So she got shaved back to being a goblin with a horrible like sack where all of her fat used to be from when she used to eat too much, which would just sort of wrap around her knees and like she'd be sitting and it'd just be like lying under her feet. just truly, truly horrible, and I love her so much. No, but she's good. She's just hanging out. She's been scratching at the door for about 2/3 of this podcast, but that's very okay. We're at Bird City here as well. We kind of talked about it, what, week and a half ago or something like that, but I am absolutely... I have a surplus of birds here. Lorikeets, galahs. It's just wonderful.
Question from Tal as well, given that previous comment about watching UFC in the thing. Lover of the show, Virtue Daddy here asks, is UFC unionized? And the answer is a great big fuck no. The UFC has terrible, terrible labor practices whereby they hire people on individual contracts. The contracts are filled with no-compete clauses, so they cannot compete for anybody outside of the UFC while they are fighting for the UFC. But also, if they displease the UFC to any great deal, they will just stop booking them for fights. And so, people cannot go and earn a living through fighting because the UFC won't book them, but they also can't leave the UFC without being punished for breaking their contract. So, that's cool. So even though they are hired as independent contractors under the UFC, they then have to like wear uniforms. They can only fight for the one workplace. They have like media obligations that they have to go to. They have like a code of conduct that they have to adhere to. In every possible sense, they are employees of the UFC, except for how they are contracted under them. I believe there is currently an antitrust lawsuit against the UFC where they've recently been compelled to give a bunch of their internal documents over. Lover of the show, wearing a fursuit in summer, has posted a link, negative end. Has posted a link to a thing about a UFC fighter trying to make a union push. I believe he's talking about Leslie Smith, who had been trying to spearhead a thing called Operation... what was it called? Spearhead? Arrowhead? Something? An attempt to unionize fighters, to make a fighters union. It's been very hard to get people on board. The people who were talking about how the union would be a good idea have all kind of, strangely enough, come around to the UFC's way of thinking. And Leslie Smith herself, so she had been trying to do this while under contract to the UFC. She was booked into the last fight on her contract. And I believe her opponent either came in like way overweight or was injured or something and couldn't compete in the fight. And so the UFC just paid her fee to show up for the fight and then said, that counts as your last fight. And then said, you are out of the UFC now. And that's a thing that they like never do. They never fucking give money to people for a fight that they didn't do. And that includes like when people have turned up and made weight and somebody else has like done something, you know, really stupid or shitty or whatever and hasn't been able to fight as a result of it. They always just say to people, oh, too bad. You paid for a 6 or 8 week fight camp or whatever out of your own pocket, and you've been training for this thing for months and paying for it all yourself. And this other person didn't turn up for the fight at the last second, but that's too bad. You didn't fight, so you don't get the money. But in this particular instance, for some weird reason, they found the money to pay Leslie Smith out for this last fight and tell her to hit the fucking bricks. So that's what happens if you try to unionize in the UFC.
So the U stands for...
Union.
University.
Yeah.
Of Fighting College. Yes.
Very much. The Poindexters of fighting.
Cool. Okay. Glad we
talked. Tal does ask if I have any thoughts on the Fighting in the Age of Loneliness series, which I believe is a documentary series made by John Boyce and Felix Biedemann of Chapo Trap House. And it's very weird because it's extremely in my wheelhouse and I just haven't made the time to sit down and watch it yet. So I feel like a big dickhead.
Speaking of which, I got to go back through 17776 as well. I got about halfway.
Is that the
through.
Other John Boyce thing?
That's the John Boyce thing, the mixed media thing he did for SB Nation, which is extremely good, and I would highly recommend checking it out. That's 1, 3 sevens and a 6.
Three sevens. 17, 70, 76.
Yes.
Well, I feel like that's gonna do it. We've done an hour. We've done a hot live hour.
We've done an hour. We've been asked 100 times for various people to get on, and by various people I mean Allison, obviously. When we do this again, we will work out how to smoothly unmute and serve up people and have them queued up like a professional show. But at the moment, we're very dumb.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
And I'm being told Allison only.
Just Allison.
Yeah.
All right, folks.
And on the way out, can I just finish the reading of T.J. Miller's biography, because I stopped reading it thinking that it stopped being funny, and it hadn't. So I'll do that on the way out, if you like.
Go for it. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning into our very first semi-live show.
Good night. It's been absolutely lovely. Oh, sorry. RJ says, fuck you, give me credit. Not sure what that's for. Probably some... Alice Workman, maybe? People are yelling at us to get Alice Workman on. We fully 100% are behind that idea, so thank you. His stand-up, as of 2015, is aimed at discussing time and the release of the death anxiety. By the age of 33, he had read all of Nietzsche's works and considers himself an absurdist with philosophical roots in nihilism. Good night, everybody.
Wow. That's just miserable stuff. Brutal. Da 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 da